is it coming up? I mean, you love doing comedy. Is it, we don't see you in a lot of comedy.
Yeah, but if you look back through the movies that I made, there's always in a cycle, there's comedies in there. You know, in a sort of a balance, you know. I just really like the density of this script, you know, and what then the narrative was trying to achieve, you know. And I thought it had really noble intentions, you know. The way that I sort of define it was that, you know, Shane has tried to reach back into history and find a point in time where, you know, America's simply corrupted its own future by certain decisions that were made. And that's very heavy. Now take that and put it into an extremely absurd world with gigantic characters who have a thorough and deep belief in themselves and see what happens. So I just thought it was beyond what I wouldn't have described it necessarily as a comedy. You know, because it was full of social commentary, or it was full of, you know, other things that you don't necessarily find, and it's just a comedy.
Did it read funny, or did most of that come out of, I mean, watch on a screen, it reads a lot funnier than it did?
When you're reading it, it's kind of like that thing of the way it read is like when you if you have coffee with a comedian, you know. If you say something funny, they'll just go.
And they'll tag it.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. They won't laugh, they'll just go... Yeah, that was funny. And it was kind of like that. You're reading it and you're seeing, oh, okay, so it wasn't a thigh slapper off the page, but you're going, all right, that's set up, those two guys, that dynamic, that's funny. And then, you know, and the sort of like, you know, the exposition or whatever of somebody's backstory or whatever, that's funny. It was ripe for the picking, if you know what I mean. Uh-huh. You know, the ground was set.
So, now, you were in this first, because Chris, did you want Ryan? Is he somebody that you wanted to work with, or?
It's kind of an embarrassing story, you know, because I read it and I really liked it, you know, and I thought, wow, that's cool. And please don't ask me who's on this list, because that would be extremely unkind of me to say it. So I said to my agent, that's, you know, I liked it. I was surprised. I think it's the narrative's really dense, you know, there's a lot going on. He said, well, you know, the studio is sending you a list of people that I want to be in the movie with you. And I read the list and I was like, okay. So I called my agent back and said, listen, obviously it's not the project that I thought it was. It's something else. And I must have really wanted it to be something, because I've read too much into it. So just don't bother expressing interest. And he goes, Shane Black got on the plane 5 hours ago. I'm like, oh. Far out, man. Serious? Okay. So I started thinking about it. Like, okay, I've got a plan, right? I'll invite him over to my house when he gets here. I'll say, you want a drink? You know? And I'll cook him a steak. And partway through that, I'll say, look, man, I don't really, you know, I thought it was something else. I'm really sorry wasting your time, all that sort of stuff. So I have my plan, you know? So he arrives. And I say, hey, man, would you like a drink? I don't drink. That was most of my plan, is that he had to be drinking in order to hear this. So I said, what do you mean you don't drink? He said, I'm allergic to alcohol. I said, what do you mean you're allergic to alcohol? He says, yeah, one drink and I break out in handcuffs. And I'm like, that's funny. I go, look, okay. Obviously, we've got a little bit of a problem. I've got to tell you something. And he goes, well, I got to tell you something. Can I go first? I said, all right, you go first. He goes, Ryan Gosling. Like, what? He said, Ryan Gosling. I had a meeting with him before I went to the airport. He knows it's going to be you. He wants to play the other character. What do you think of that? And I'm like, how do you have your steak? And the evening got back on track.
Nice.
What about, like, finding the chemistry? Like, you're that immovable object, and he's sort of the irresistible force. Is it nice, it's sort of dynamic between you? Does that just occur naturally, or do you sort of, you know, work that out?
We had a meeting where between me and Ryan and Shane, we went through all the beats, you know? And the thing that becomes obvious when you start to lift these scenes off the page is that... the two main characters were written in a totally similar rhythm. So they were almost interchangeable, you know? So we discussed it. We laid that out in front of us. And that was all we did. Now that we knew that, you know, we knew that every time we came to a scene, we had to find a harmonic to each other, you know, to not be in the same sonic space. And off we went. There was no more mathematics than that. Once we discussed it, once we put it out in front of us, we get, right, yeah, that's a problem. So every time we went to a scene, and we didn't even, it never even came up again as a sentence, you know. It's just like we knew what our job was, that every time we go into a scene, we had to find the, you know, the different sonic hole that still harmonized with the other guy. So that's, you know, people can think in those terms or they can't. It's just, you know, he can, so good. Lucky me.
Your character is a badass, but also a big sweetheart when it comes to the interaction with Angry. How much time...
Angowri, like Maori.
Angowri.
Angowri.
We're trying to figure out how to say it. Angowri.
Yeah. You're like New Zealand Maori?
Maori.
Angowri, Maori. Yeah.
Maori. What was it like working with her?
She was great, man. She was cool. I mean, she's very focused. And I made a joke last night because somebody asked, you know, what, you know, me and Joel Silver and Shane Black and Ryan are sitting in this Q&A. You know, what did Angowri Rice bring to the set? And I said, I think the thing that she brought to the set was maturity. Yeah. She was great. She's always ready to go and sort of like a noter of the absurd, you know, but very focused on what she's doing. So she was fun.
Awesome. So, sorry, a noter of the absurd, would that be because of her age or would that be because of the part of the world that she's from? What would you... assess that too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she's from Australia, so she's got a very clear view of things. also, you know, Ryan is what's the polite way of saying it? Ryan's a kidder, you know, and she could read his kidding very, very clearly as well.
I'm sorry.
I was going to ask something. I can't remember what it was. Last time you were with Kim Basinger, it was a film noir. Actually, we haven't seen a lot of her over the years.
No. Neither have I, man. You know, we were talking, we worked out. I hadn't actually been in each other's company for over a decade. Yeah. It's funny, just business is, works that way sometimes, you know. Sometimes you can see somebody all the time for a number of years and then. The cycle changes and you're just not in the same orbit, you know. But it was great to see. I mean, if anything, it's a funny question because I would have loved to have done more stuff with it. You know, it's so minimal what we actually do together. And compared to our previous on-screen relationship, it's hard to recreate that vibe, you know. Mm-hmm.
Stunts did you do? It looked like you were really battered about. Did you use a stunt guy?
Yeah, I mean, you always have a stunt guy around. And, you know, I've spent most of my career doing as many 100% shots for the directors I can. But the older I get, the less that's just physically possible, mm-hmm. You know? It's just simply that way. I remember when I was a young fella doing all my stunts, and the occasional older actor would go, you know, why are you doing it? You know, why don't you let the stunt guys do it and stuff like that? And I'd be like, check that guy out, you know. But now that I'm an older guy, I'm like, oh, man, that was a kind of a nice piece of kindness and wisdom that just missed me at the time, you know. Because you do start stacking them up. I have this embarrassing thing where I've got one scar on my body that is from something other than a film set. Every other scar is about being on a film set, you know. So they're all fake. Yeah. all my injuries are fake ones. Yeah. I mean, you know, I got no cartilage in my toes anymore. That's from doing a whole bunch of lateral stops and stuff like that. You know, things are too hard where you just, you know, munch through it, really. I've got grade 4 tears in both Achilles tendons. I've got shin splints. I've got bone marrow edemas under both knees. I've got one disintegrating hip. I've got a rib in my upper thoracic that pops off my spine, which is a very pleasant morning if that ever happens. But it's like these things. I've had two operations on my left shoulder. You know, this stuff comes from committing to the job and giving myself over to the job. So I did a version of everything. But what I said to Shane right back at the beginning is like there's two things at play here. You know, one is because I'm getting older, I have to, you know, I want to make sure that I get through everything that I'm responsible for. You know, the other thing is I'm carrying a lot of extra weight. So if we start grinding on stuff and doing it over and over again, I'm going to hurt myself, just full stop. That's a fact. So we have to be aware of that. So I did kind of limit him a little bit, but all that basically meant is that he got the choreography and everything he wanted to do with the camera down really well. And then so when I'm doing it, he's getting it, everything he needs anyway. You know, so, yeah, but it's good, you know, to sort of like pull the grind back from 20 takes to 3, you know, just get ready. I'll be doing it. As long as you're ready to shoot it, we can do it in 3, you know.
Did you beef up for them? Is this the last question?
2 minutes.
Oh, okay. Did you beef up for them?
What I decided to do was just to live a completely sedentary life and become, you know, I mean, what am I going to do? Compete with Ryan? what's the point of that? So I just decided to go the other way, you know, in terms of like great comedy duos, you know, like, you know, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope, you know, Abbott Costello, whatever, sort of like there seems to be a lot of the time like a physical difference. And in this script is actually a physical difference required, you know. So I just decided to emphasize that a little bit more.
Real fast. So, Blood Meridian, is that
going to
happen?
I have no idea, man. You know, I don't write those magazines, man. You know, I'm friends with James Franco, right. And I've talked to James Franco about working with him, but I have no idea where all that came from.
Okay. And then Mummy, are you interested in negotiations? You don't know if you're on that.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
You are going to do it.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to play Dr. Henry Jekyll, Fellow of the Royal Society. Okay. It's very interesting what they're going to do with that stuff, right. You know. So I've had a couple of chats about it with the director and stuff. And I've known Tom Cruise since 1992, something like that, you know. And when he was married to an Australian, I was really good friends with him. But when he got divorced, I was part of the settlement package, and I went to Nicole. Yeah, but he really understands, you know, the world, and he's been around a long time on a lot of big projects, so he knows how to get something from an idea onto the page, from the page onto a soundstage and then into a camera, you know. So sure, he'll be, you know, I would imagine he'd be scared right about now. I imagine that he'd be having, you know, a hard time sleeping because he's got, you know, 10 million things on his mind and all that, you know. But, you know, when we started talking about this idea, there was a few things that I kind of put up in the air, and he picked up on them. And so it's like, you know, those kind of creative, collaborative conversations, if they are explosive like that from the first time you start talking, where, you know, somebody says something that goes off in your mind and that bumps up something that you say, then that person bounces off that. If you're into that area from conversation one, you're actually in a really good place. And I think, you know, how they've pulled all of this stuff forward into a contemporary world and how they build it out from here and how all the different characters interweave in each other's stories, mate, it's fantastic.
Drastically different than the previous Mummy, I assume.
Yeah, this one is kind of more designed, I think, to like seriously scare the out of you.
Thank you, everyone.
You can see why I don't work for PR. I don't do sales.